Hi, welcome to The Deep End. I'm your host, Mark Kleinschmidt. You're listening to 97.9 FM WCHL, also heard on 1360 AM WCHL. This week and every week, The Deep End takes a look at issues that are affecting Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County, and we try to take a deep dive into those issues with some guests who have some information to share with us. And, you know, before today, I was thinking about our town, where we've come from, and where we're going. I've always been blessed, and I have been very fortunate to have had some role in helping determine that path. And now, after having been a year away from elected office, I have had the opportunity to kind of reflect a little bit more on where we've come from and now watch others as they steer the ship of Chapel Hill into the future. One of the most exciting developments last year, I think, was the presence of some new blood on the Chapel Hill Town Council. Now, some of that new blood wasn't really that new to Chapel Hill, but it's certainly new. Some of it is certainly new to the Chapel Hill Town Council and the leadership of our community. And I wanted to tap into a little bit of that experience. Where are we going now, and how we're able to capture the best of yesterday as we create a future for our community. So I asked my friend Michael Parker to come and join me today. He knows Chapel Hill really well. Now, he's only been living here in his most recent period since 2010, but has a long history that stretches back decades from his time as a graduate student here in the early 70s. Michael, thanks so much for being here and sharing this time with me.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, you're some of that new blood on the council, but you actually reflect some really long time experience with our community, right? When did you first arrive here in Chapel Hill?
I first came to Chapel Hill in actually August of 1970 to start graduate school in neurobiology. And I stayed here till the spring of 74 when I realized that the PhD I thought I was going to get wasn't going to happen and it was time to do some other things with my life.
Well, before we talk about what you ended up doing with your life, where did you come from before you arrived here in Chapel Hill?
So I grew up in the Bronx and went to undergraduate school in the University of Buffalo. And the main reason I came to UNC, when I was looking at graduate schools, my major criterion was it had to be someplace warm. UCLA turned me down, so I wound up at UNC, and I guess I was very happy that I did.
So when you arrived here, I'd like to think back to your first days here in Chapel Hill in 1970. You know, this town didn't have interstates running along its borders. Durham, I guess, was still a day trip away. Is that right?
Not a day trip, unless you were taking a horse, but I'm not that old. But I do remember when I had to have my car repaired. I had a foreign car, and it only could be repaired in Durham. And I used to have to, getting back and forth, if I didn't have the car, one went to the Trailways station on Franklin Street and bought a ticket and took the Trailways bus to Durham.
Wow. Okay, that was a whole. Now that's a completely different kind of Chapel Hill than we live in. So if you had to go all the way to Durham and had to take a bus to get your car back,
yeah.
I would expect then our downtown was a completely different place than it is today.
And in both ways, good, and mostly good actually. I think back in the early 70s, downtown was not just the social center of Chapel Hill, but it was really the economic center of Chapel Hill. You had, of course, your banks, but there was a car dealership. There were gas stations. There was the famous Fowler's supermarket, Big Bertha, where people drowned in beer. And then, very few people remember, there was a Belk downtown.
Oh, yeah.
So in response, nowadays we always hear, well, you can't get underwear in downtown Chapel Hill. But you could then. Eastgate was there, University Mall, was just sort of coming into its own. But in those days, downtown was really the economic center.
And where did you live then during those years when you were in graduate school?
So my first year, I actually lived in a graduate student dormitory on campus, which was an interesting experience.
Was that one of the old high-rises?
It was Craig
dorm?
It was Craig. It was Craig was the graduate student dormitory at that point. And then after that, I lived in some apartments around town. I spent the summer on actually what was then Airport Road. And then I spent the rest of my time in two apartments in Carrboro, one on Poplar and one on Davie.
Wow. Okay. So, and even that was probably, I don't know, did your friends think, wow, you're going all the way to Carrboro to live? Was that a little kind of a stretch?
I mean, no. There was a fair bit of student housing in Carrboro.
Well, the Carrboro we know today, certainly wasn't that then, was it? Tell me about Carrboro in 1970.
You know, I don't have great – I remember the A&P, you know, where the gym that is now the O2 gym that I go to was an A&P in those days where, you know, the East Main and where the Art Center is. Mm-hmm. That was a Piggly Wiggly. So it was quite different. And I still remember, though, the Carrboro Town Hall, because that was where I cast my very first vote in the presidential election in 1972 for the late lamented George McGovern.
Oh, well, I think Orange County was one of the few places in the state that actually you were in a majority here.
Yeah, I couldn't understand why he lost because everybody I knew voted for him.
Well, that certainly hasn't changed. It's still part of the Chapel Hill Carrboro experience. So you left in 1974 and came back to a community that was greatly changed. I mean, it certainly wasn't. You didn't have to take a Trailways bus to get your car out of Hawk and Durham, and there wasn't a Belk's downtown anymore.
No, it was changed. You know, I didn't disappear completely for those 30 odd years. I, you know, visited every 8 or 10 years, so I had a chance to experience some of the change. But what was really both remarkable and to me very appealing was a lot of Chapel Hill had changed, but a lot hadn't. I was reading some history of Chapel Hill not too long ago and came upon Howard Lee's motto for his election, which was preserve the best and fix the rest. I felt like a lot of that is exactly what had happened. You still had, while the downtown didn't have a Belk's and it didn't have a Fowler's, but it was certainly recognizable. The big thing that happened while I was here was the construction of what was then the NCNB Plaza, then Bank of America Plaza, now CBS Plaza. But after that, there weren't too many big changes in downtown for many years until, you know, you start getting close to tower time with Greenbridge and 140 West and some, you know, a couple of smaller projects. So it was really fascinating how the periphery of Chapel Hill had changed quite a lot, but the core part of it had really remained very much intact.
Well, maybe that's why when you came back 36 years later that you decided to make your home back in downtown Chapel Hill. When we come back after this break, let's talk a little bit about how, as a returning citizen of this community, how you ended up becoming one of our great visionaries for where Chapel Hill is going into the future. And so we'll get to that right after these messages. And we're back on The Deep End. I'm Mark Kleinschmidt. You're listening to WCHL 97.9 FM, 1360 AM. And again, this week, we're diving down into issues that are of concern to people who live here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Orange County. And today, we're taking a trip down memory lane with someone who, one of the few people, I believe, who are really active in our community today, who recognize where we've come. Having lived here in the early 70s as a graduate student, returning in 2010, and then getting involved in local politics and decision-making, Michael Parker is one of those few people around who were here and recognized a community from a generation ago exist in and participate in a community that we all enjoy today and are also helping create our Chapel Hill, Orange County of tomorrow. So, Michael, in our last segment, we talked about the times that you had living here as a graduate student and some of the changes that had occurred over time. So whenever you returned to Chapel Hill in 2010, you moved yourself right back down into the heart of our community. You're in Greenbridge, right?
Yes. And I think two main reasons. So one, I am in many ways the least American person that anybody knows because I've never really lived in a house. I grew up in an apartment. Other than living in a student stuffer as an undergraduate, I've always lived in apartments. And so when my wife and I decided to move back to Chapel Hill, buying a house was never one of the options for us. So that narrows things down considerably. So the combination of what was then when we bought, it was still just a set of blueprints. It was available through Greenbridge, both it being an apartment, which was something we wanted, a you know, condominium actually, but also walkability was really important to us, both in terms of where we were then, where we are now, but even thinking forward as we age and become increasingly unable or, you know, shouldn't be driving, we wanted to live someplace where we could still participate in the activities of town without needing a car. So living downtown, and particularly in Greenbridge, just worked out perfectly for us.
Well, in 2010, I would, you know, I think it's kind of unexpected that you would choose to live downtown. But even in 2010, you were kind of a frontier person. I mean, it wasn't the frontier as in the edge of our community, yeah. But moving into downtown was still a new idea when you were one of the first folks to plant your flag down there. Did you have any concerns when you made that move into Chapel Hill that it wasn't – the downtown wasn't everything you wanted it to be or needed to be?
You know, I'll plead, you know, my ignorance of the time. I think that at the time we did it, we didn't know that. After we moved in, we looked around and said, you know, there isn't quite as much downtown as I thought there was. But that's really, I think, turned around. I think between Greenbridge, 140 West, I think downtown is rebounding remarkably. And it's just so gratifying to see, you know, Greenbridge borders on Graham Street. And just in a couple of years, you know, the few years that we've been down here, Graham Street has gone from being, I don't know, an afterthought, if nothing else, to being this little street that's incredibly vibrant with, you know, Al's Burger Shack and the Baxter Arcade and the Beer Study and a couple of, you know, Sid's Hair Shop. And it's just become a really happening place, which is something that I think is terrific. I mean, one of the things that's important to me about this or any downtown is feet on the street, the liveliness and the economic activity, which is really just coming back to downtown remarkably.
Well, helping create that kind of environment, is that why and how you became involved in local policymaking? Because of your interest in creating that downtown that you wanted to live in?
I would love to say yes, because it would make me sound really smart, but it was much more accidental than that. I just started going to – I was curious. I had some time on my hands, and I wanted to see how Chapel Hill worked. And I started going to meetings. I remember the very first one that I went to was a town hall. It was an informational session on what was going to be Shortbread Lofts, and I went and listened. And then I learned that there were advisory boards, so I applied and got on one of them. You know, it was transportation because I figured, well, I know something about buses and subways. You know, I lived on them my whole life.
Well, yeah, you used to have to take a bus to get your car when you had to.
And when I lived in the – I went to junior high school on buses and I went to high school on subways. You know, it was a whole different environment up in New York. And I just discovered, number one, that I really enjoyed it, and two, that people seemed to pay attention to some of the things that I was saying. So I kept doing more of it.
Well, you know, your voice is a unique one in our community in that, you know, we don't have very many policymakers who actually live in an area of our community that we at least say we want to put a lot of attention and work into. And so do you feel that burden as being the voice of
downtown?
I neither
– certainly it's not a burden. I feel a certain responsibility, but neither do I see myself as the voice of downtown. I think we're fortunate in terms of both folks on the council as well as the community writ large that I think everybody wants to see our downtown succeed. So I think it may be somewhat helpful, but number one, while I maybe have a – feel a certain responsibility for downtown, I think it's important for all of us on the council to be counselors for all of Chapel Hill in terms of both geography and population groups rather than feeling that I have a unique constituency I want to serve.
Well, you know, have someone who bridges that time period that we're talking about, early 70s to today, puts you in a category, puts you in a particular generation.
Yeah.
A generation.
Called old.
Well, it's a generation that I often heard people I often heard from folks of that generation when I was mayor and on the council complain more about downtown than almost any other aspect of our community. I heard the complaints that it wasn't a place they wanted to go. It was a place that they didn't feel safe being of a particular age. But it's a place where you have actually found a home.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how do you address – because I'm sure the folks still have that complaint. How do you respond to that today?
You know, I guess coming from a more urban area is both, you know, a benefit and a burden because I'm used to certain things that other folks are not. So I really try to put myself and see downtown through their eyes, not just for my own, to make sure that we are doing the things that we need to do to make it as attractive a place for people to want to live, to visit, to spend time as possible. And that, you know, whether that's public safety, I think we're, you know, looking at things like lighting. Certainly, we all recognize that parking is a challenge downtown.
Well, you know, where do you tell people who complain about that parking being the reason they don't come? Where do you tell them to park? Reveal the secret now.
There's no secret. Well, my secret is I park in my building, so I'm, you know, I cheat. But there are places downtown. I mean, first of all, so if you're coming for dinner, for example, to the West End, to West Franklin, we have valet service, and I think people, for whatever reason, seem somewhat uncomfortable to use it. So I would give a real plug.
Isn't that really expensive to use that valet
it's
service?
It's free.
Oh, it's free.
It's free, people. Use it. It's there for you. The West End Merchants and the Downtown Partnership are really trying to make it easy. But if for some reason that's not what you want to do, the town just opened up 24 more metered spots behind the Bass Night lot,
right,
behind the courtyard, the parking lot that Three Birds has access to is available after 6. There are places to park. It's a bit of a challenge. I don't want to minimize it, but we recognize that we need to do better, and we are looking a lot of options up to and including at some point in the future a parking deck on the West End of town.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Chapel Hill downtown's tomorrow, future after these messages. Welcome back to The Deep End. I'm Mark Kleinschmidt. You're listening to WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. We're here in University Place. I'm talking with my guest, Michael Parker, and we've talked about some of the changes that have occurred in our downtown, particularly over the generation or so that he has some familiarity with it. And we were talking a little bit about parking and some of the stressors about downtown today. So we were talking about the folks who complain about downtown. You mentioned the West End.
Yes.
If somebody was going to want to reintroduce themselves to downtown, let's say that they live out in one of the a neighborhood out on the edge of the community, and they claim that there's nothing to do downtown. If they're of your generation, where do you tell them to go?
Well, I mean, I am a foodie. That was one of the things that I came to Chapel Hill for. So I tell everybody to start with one of the great restaurants downtown. I'm afraid to name a single name because then I'll be accused of favoritism. But we have, you know, we are so fortunate in Chapel Hill.
Well, you've already named Al's Burger Shack.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's Lantern, there's Elaine's, there's Kipo's, there's Tallulah's, and I'm sure I'm
leaving
some others.
Crook's Corner.
I always forget Crook's Corner, even though I live cheek by jowl with it. There are so many, every kind of cuisine. Cholinade is terrific. So that's, you know, certainly where it starts for me.
We have a lot of restaurants, but what's missing in downtown Chapel Hill?
I think what's missing right now, and this is something I'm hoping that we can address in the next couple of years, is some kind of event space or cultural art space, a reason to come downtown in the evening besides eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping that, you know, I think—
Well, we have Memorial Hall now.
And people somehow— I do, but some people don't make the connection between Memorial Hall on campus and downtown. Mm. They see those as somewhat separate worlds. I hope we can break that down. As Carolina Square is an exciting project, and they're going to have their own Carolina Performing Arts is going to have their black box space there. So we're going to start getting some performances there. And I'm hopeful that over time we'll be able to figure out some ways of creating more things for people to do downtown beyond what we've got today to make it more of a destination rather than a place you sort of pass through.
And you and the council are making some opportunities for people to get involved in that. I know that the town right now is going through a process of visioning Rosemary Street.
That's right. And we are having public meetings. There will be some meetings at the latter part of this month. And I encourage everybody who's got an interest in those issues to come and participate, see what's planned, make your opinions known, and contribute.
And you can find out more about those
on the town website.
That's townofchapelhill.org, right?
Yep. So we only have
about a minute left here, Michael, but I want to thank you so much for coming and helping us explore.
Anytime.
Explore downtown. What do you think the next, other than downtown issues, what's on your radar for the next year as some of the most important policy decisions the council is going to be faced with?
I think two biggies that really jump out at me. One is clearly the American Legion property. The town has, you know, is in the process of acquiring it. We're committed to doing a planning process to figure out how to make the best use of that space in a way that is fiscally responsible and really meets the needs of our community. And I think the other thing, which is a little bit wonky, is we're going to be starting on a revision of the Land Use Management Ordinance, which really governs, really lays the framework for all of the development decisions in town. That will start kick off probably in the late spring. It's going to run for 2 years or more. Will be a participative process. It will involve our community's residents as well as the advisory boards. And I think that's really going to set the tone for much of what happens in town
over
the next many years.
And with a town full of wonks, I'm sure you're going to have a lot of participation. Well, thank you, Michael, so much for being here with me today. You're listening to The Deep End. I'm Mark Kleinschmidt, and we'll see you next week.